Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay. So yesterday we were talking about the varnas. Any question? Anything from before? So then ashramas. So then, as for the ashramas, then there are four. Is it brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasi. Now, we have to understand that as for the varnas, then for the ashrams, the main and the most important thing is to utilize the conditioned nature, the mentality in Krishna service such a way so then we can perform devotional service. And that's possible, as we said, in the Daivi Varnashram. So the varnas we describe in the ashrams as the brahmachari. So brahmachari is a person, he is a student. He is the one who studies, so then later on he can use what he had studied in his life. So in fact, this is the most important part of one's life, to get the proper understanding what he should do, how he should do, all the concepts of culture, etiquette. But the most important, it's the conclusion of education. The actual education, it's not much about knowledge. The knowledge is the media, but the conclusion, that the goal of knowledge is how to realize, the goal of education is how to realize this knowledge. Because the knowledge, if it's not realized, it's not useful. As Srila Rupa Goswami defines, highly learned person, it's one who has great knowledge, but he has a proper character. So a person who knows how to use the knowledge. So that needs a realization. Just to learn something just for the sake of knowing it, it's useless. So one has to learn how to apply things in his life. And this is the this is the part of education. As we mentioned before, Shravana, Manana, Niridhyasana. So the Shravana, the student learns what he needs to do and how he needs to do. But only when he starts to contemplate on how he's going to use it and practically applying the usage, then only he gets realization from the application, not otherwise. If he doesn't apply himself, then he will never understand what's the benefit of what he has learned. Yes? Yes. Of course there is a realization. See the...
The purpose is to consult others, yes.
The?
When they learn it, the purpose is to consult others. Yes,
they are the teachers. We will come to them. No, the sannyasis, they are the teachers for everyone because they have the top realization. See, realization is a process. We should not understand that realization, you either get it or don't. Realization is a process which we get by practicing. Say, you may go to Ganga, right? And you may come during summer. So then, you never went to water, now you go, oh, that's so pleasant. So you think, okay, so that's your realization, the water is pleasant. Now it's winter, you run to water and you expect it to be pleasant, you jump in, and then, oh, so cold. So your realization becomes deeper, now you know, sometimes it's pleasant, sometimes it's not. Now when it is pleasant, when it's hot outside, the water is nice. When it's cold outside, the water is not so nice. So I should make distinction in between. So, and then, okay, it's summer, it's hot, but it was just storm. So then there is plenty of water and the water is cold. So it's not so pleasant. And if I'm in water for too long, I get cold. So then it's not good to be sick and it's because of the water. Then if we play mud fight and then one gets hit with the mud in the eye, then it's not pleasant. So then we should not do that. And as we apply the knowledge, then we get deeper and deeper realizations. So then later, we can advise others. Don't play with the mud, it's not good. Don't go to the water now, it's too cold. And because of our realizations. But if we don't have the realization, it's difficult to say something or difficult to apply it. Yes?
Realization can come not only from my own experience, but from watching.
Also, yes, it can come. And as we mentioned yesterday, was it yesterday? Did we mention it about Rupa Goswami sharing the realization, or it was on the class? Or was it?
It was in the class, yeah.
See, the power of realization is... we will come to it as we go. But we have to realize that realization is not just a one-step process. It is a process, and process as such, it's continuous. It goes on. So as we are applying ourselves, that much we get deeper into the understanding. So we have, for example, following duties in one's ashram. If one can, then this is the right place for him to be. And by that he will realize who he is. And then he will realize what is his connection with the Lord. So if Brahmachari, situated in Brahmachari ashram, and he is happy, and he doesn't need the interaction saying Haribol or some important activity, but it is drawing the attention and do something, want something more. So if he doesn't require that, doesn't require extra emotions which are not available, then he may be situated in Brahmacharya Ashram for the rest of his life, and it will be beneficial for him. But if such a Brahmachari cannot be without it, he needs his privacy, he needs his emotions, he needs his extra facility, so he will not be happy in that situation. So then he must look for something else, because he will not get realization in that particular situation. He will only lament, and then lamenting will not bring him anything good. So he must change the situation, and the changing situation means that he must take the Grihastha Ashram. But to take Grihastha Ashram, one has to be first good Brahmachari. Then one can become good Grihastha. So he anyway is in the Brahmachari Ashram for certain period of time. Then once he graduates, he take up Grihastha. But knowing what is Brahmachari, he will now take up Grihastha, and he will take the facility which comes with it, but he will have to give many more responsibilities. He will be much more responsible. And it's a very hard job. But him, for his mentality, he will get what he wants, but for a high price. So when he does his duties properly, he will realize this is all nonsense. There is no really place, or why should we be in the material world? So at the end of the Grihastha Ashram, he will get his realization also. And he will not get it if he would try to stay as a Brahmachari and not to get married because it's too difficult and I don't want to. But he will not be able to follow the Grihastha Ashram, the Brahmachari Ashram. So following the Grihastha Ashram, doing the duties 100% as one should, he will get the realization also. So at the end of the life, the Brahmachari and the Grihasthas both will get the realization that we don't belong to this material world. And therefore, we should perform devotional service to the Lord. But one has to go through the proper channel, through the situation which helps him. So if that's done, then it works properly. And within the Varnashram system, everything is perfectly created for that. So then the situation can be such. So if you can be a Brahmachari, you are encouraged too. But if one cannot be Brahmachari, then just he's encouraged to become Grihastha. Because either Brahmachari or Grihastha can realize themselves. But being something in between, not possible. There's no way how a Brahmachari who does not want to get married because he is lazy, because he doesn't want to take responsibilities, so he will not take the responsibility, but he will enjoy the facility of not being under authority as the Brahmachari is. So he will think, oh, it's so wonderful. So, and end of his life will be no realization, but thinking the material world is just wonderful. I'll take it again. And there is no really way how to convince him otherwise. So that way, then either Brahmachari or Grihastha both get the same realization. So there is no difference. It's just the difference how they go. It's like if one goes to Delhi and goes by train and other one flies. Once they both get to Delhi, right? And then one is going to laugh, oh, you came by train, see, I came by plane. What was the point? Both of you are the same time, no same place. So do your duties. And that's the goal. how you came, well, okay, so maybe you had no little more comfort. But at the end, that's really not the main point. So therefore, the realization is extremely important, because this is what takes us back to Godhead. So to achieve that, then we have to also find how we can respect each other. So it doesn't come to the point that the brahmacharis are laughing at the grihasthas and grihasthas laughing at the brahmacharis and there is no respect. Then it is unlikely anybody gets any realization. But rather than that, then just helping each other. The grihastha, they can appreciate on the brahmacharis that they are free to study and practice what they have learned, and that way then they can go and preach. And when they preach, then whom should they preach? They preach to the grihasthas. And then the grihasthas, when they get the association of the brahmacharis, then they should be very, very happy, because they are very busy. They are they cannot do all these things. They don't have so much time as the brahmacharis. They have to work. They have to maintain the family. That's a lot of work. But by association, they can get the same realization as the brahmacharis do. So then that encourages them to maintain the facilities so that they can study more. And the example, you can see on when Rupa Goswami, once he was meditating on Radha Krishna pastime, and it was funny pastime, so just he was laughing. At the time there was one leper coming by, and then he thought that leopards, they don't look, it's a bad disease. So he was thinking, he's laughing at me. So what is this? Such an advanced devotee and laughing at me. No, he's not a good devotee. And then he felt offended. As soon as that happened, so then the pastime disappeared from Rupa Goswami's mind, and then he lost his meditation. But he didn't know why. So he told his brother, Sanatan Goswami. And then he said, I don't know, something happened. I lost my meditation. So his brother was saying, you must have committed some Vaishnava aparadha. But I'm not aware of any. I don't know. Okay, maybe it was unknowingly, but we will find out. So then they made feast for all the devotees, invited all the devotees. And then the one who didn't come was the one who was offended. So then Rupa Goswami come to him and then he touches his feet, begs forgiveness. And then the explanation comes that, but why did you laugh at me? He said, I'm not aware of laughing at you. I was meditating on a pastime and it was very funny. Then he understood, then he begged forgiveness from Rupa Goswami. And that way then they forgive each other. Then the pastime comes back to Rupa Goswami, and at the same time the devotee also get the same pastime. He is in the same pastime. So association of pure devotee, the realization, the level of the realization is shared. So knowledge, one may know, say, whole Bhagavatam by heart, but if there is no conclusion, he doesn't know what is the main feature, what is the main thing, the conclusion of, then it will not be very useful. But realization, it's what helps one to elevate himself. So therefore, if the brahmacharis have more time, they should be studying, they should be practicing so that they can preach. And appreciation of that, then those, the grihasthas, can help to maintain them. And that way, then it works very well. Each one can respect the other, and both can advance in their devotional services. So then if we see that, so then brahmachari, grihastha, and then vanaprastha, and once the grihastha becomes now he sees that his life is fulfilled, there are children who can now take care of the mother, and he says, well, I'm not anymore too young, I am not so passionate, I cannot go on and make as much money as I was making, it's difficult. So he should start thinking about renouncing. So then he starts to withdraw more from the society, and he can either practice himself or together with the wife, more just studying the Shastra, and they can go and also preach about their experience, their realization from the Grihastha life. And then if the husband, then he's very realized, and he is capable of preaching, so then he may take sannyas and fully then renounce the social orders and just go and preach to all others how one should what should one do to perform devotional service, what's the right way to perform devotional service, but not based on knowledge but based on realization. So that way then the whole Varnashrama system may work very well. But only if everybody takes his part and does everything for it, so then it gets fulfilled this way. Yes?
You mentioned about brahmachari sharing realization of grihastha.
Mm-hmm.
Does it refer to even brahmacharis who are Rupakudvana brahmacharis intending to get married because they are lower to grihasthas?
That doesn't really matter.
They
have Upakurvana Brahmachari. The difference between Nashtika and Upakurvana Brahmachari is that Upakurvana Brahmachari is Brahmachari for a certain period of time. But you see, for it's very difficult to keep thinking about, well, I will not get married the whole life. So that may be difficult, because one lifetime it's the maximum we can actually imagine as such. So for somebody it may be eternity. That's why Bhishma Dev, when he now said, okay, I'll be a brahmachari, then immediately there was such a amazement from the demigods, and immediately, yes, this is the greatest vow. So some may do, but most will get married. But until they do, they should not be thinking the whole life that they are going to get married. They must also be very strict brahmacharis for certain period of life. At least when they are 16, or it should be not till they are 25. One may be shorter, one may be a little bit longer, whatever it is. But as much as he needs to get the knowledge and to apply himself to get the realization he is looking for. And to do that, one must be really serious. For that, one must follow the duties of a brahmachari. So he must be strict brahmachari, even though he knows, okay, I'll be brahmachari for 5 more years. And then after that, okay, I'll think about getting married and how to get married. But before that, 5 years, I'm strict brahmachari. So he knows it's only 5 years. And that's much easier to focus the mind on to be brahmachari for 5 years than a lifetime. So even though he knows that he requires emotions or other things, facilities, which they are not available in the Brahmacharya Ashram, but he practices focus, sensitivity, self-control. So 5 years is not that long. And in 5 years you can gain a lot. So he gets focused. And he is not, you know, crying that, oh, he needs not these facilities right now. No. He just renounces them for 5 years. Because he knows that that will give him much more benefit than if he would be not focused. So Upakurana Brahmachari is Brahmachari who knows he gets married, but he will specifically make a vow after how many years, and during those he is still Brahmachari. So there is no difference between the Upakurana Brahmachari practicing Brahmacharya and the Naishtika Brahmachari practicing Brahmacharya. The only difference is that the Upakurvana knows that later on he will not be a Brahmachari. But when he is very strict in that. Yes?
Somebody was a very good Brahmachari, then they got married, and as a grihasta, to the practice of being grihasta probably, then study, continue their sadhana as well as their duties, and people want to hear from them. Is it also their position to preach?
They are in position. See, sometimes some grihastha couples, they may be very very simple minded. They don't need very great facilities. They can live in like some simple hut, just have a little in possession. So they don't need to really work very hard to maintain themselves. And if they can do that, so this is in one sense austerity, but if they can do that, then they will have plenty of time to practice, study, and also teach. But we see most of the grihasthas, they require more than these simple facilities. So more facilities we require, more we have to work for it. More we get entangled in that. So then less time we have for our spiritual practice. So therefore, if we get help from somebody, then it will be very appreciated. And the help can come from a devotee who may have some realization and just a simple visit. We may invite such a devotee, say, for lunch or anything, and then just little chat. It can be, it doesn't have to be any formal invitation. It can be just really something informal, little Krishna Katha. And in that, the depth of realization can be very great. Narad Muni, he becomes pure devotee by association with the Mahabhagavatas who come to visit their house. So it's the process is very powerful, and therefore what enhances the process of devotional service is darati pratigrihnati gohyam akyati prichate bhunkte bojayate. So there are six processes, and those are extremely important among devotees, the exchange of those. So if we can do that, if we can recognize the importance of these, so even though we may be really busy with our duties as the grihasthas, but still we can progress very fast in the devotional service, on the path of devotional service, just by practicing this. Just association, sadhu sangha, with these six exchanges, will make us progress very fast. And of course, we have to avoid Vaishnava Parat. As we go by, we will go in later chapters, we will talk a lot about chanting of the holy name and processes of devotional service on different level, But in each of the levels, the most important is to guard against Vaishnava Parata. So this is that's natural, that's basically what we need to do. To try to please the devotees, try to please the Lord. And then avoid to not to displease them. Yes?
I just have a question in relationship to what Prabhu was asking before, that if the Upakubana Brahmachari is trying to give guidance to a pastor couple, for example, then is it what he can pass on to them is not realization because he has not applied the knowledge yet, but he can pass on the knowledge?
You see, as we said, realization is a process. Now, during Prabhupada's time, Srila Prabhupada, the first devotees, he just tell them, okay, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. What did they do? They were just not, they chant Hare Krishna, they ate prasad, right? And they were in ecstasy. And then there were no books, or no, nothing much. So then when they go out, then they were so happy. And people, not frustrated, and they saw them. So what do you do? Why are you so happy? Well, just chant Hare Krishna. You will also become happy. And come for a feast. And so what's the process which makes one happy? How come that they could convince the people not to take up devotional service? They didn't know anything. Their knowledge was very minimal. They were not interested to really know who are we, are we on this body, or this. That was not. They were so convinced by this statement, by Srila Prabhupada, they were fully surrendered to this. And because of that, they realized that Krishna consciousness will bring the ultimate happiness. So they realized it. So when they go out and they tell you about it, all this material happiness is nothing. Just chant Hare Krishna will get the ultimate transcendental happiness that's above everything. But because they say it with conviction, because they realized it. So then people will do that. They will try and they will get the result. Nowadays, you can try, but then you may have a doubt. Well, no, some say so, but no, somebody else says something else, and then this book says something else. So, yeah, maybe, no, just try, no, maybe chant Hare Krishna, maybe it will work, but there is no conviction. There is no realization. So, therefore, people, I tried, didn't work. So, in our society, there are devotees who don't have much faith in the Vedic scripture. They rather go out and they fight the modern processes for whatever they want to. They take things from the West and they somehow like Krishnaize it, or and they think they actually do a great job. But the Vedic scriptures, they have everything. If we would take the Vedic scriptures seriously, and if we would show the world what actually there is, and there is for everybody something, all the sciences, all the application, everything is explained in the Vedic scriptures. And the conclusion of it is Bhagavatam. But if we would be convinced about it, then we can go and we can show everybody what is there. Then we will be the top, because we have something to show to the world. But instead, some take the approach, rather become like them and do it the other way, and then maybe we can do something about it. But then they are showing us, not we them. But we have plenty of material, we have plenty of things to show to others. We are only not really getting deeply into it to try to find those.
Yeah. We're giving of the devotees in Prabhupada's time. The difference from the Upavana Brahmachari example is that they actually applied the knowledge already, and that way they got the realization. But Upavana, he didn't come to the point of applying the knowledge about the Grihastha Ashram. So
right.
That way he cannot pass on that realization, but he can maybe pass on the knowledge.
But see, what it is that realization, it's not just one level. So the Upakurvana, at the time when he's practicing Brahmacharya, he may not fully realize that he's not his body. But that does not mean that he is not realized, or that he is not a pure devotee. These things are not conditioned by each other. So he may be pure devotee, he may be fully serving the Lord, but he has just some condition. But that does not mean that he is not realized. He may not be on the top realization. There may be a little bit missing. That little bit gets removed when he goes to the Grihastha Ashram. But nonetheless, still, he is a realized person. So, it's up to us. We may see him as a realized person, we may take his association. We may not, and then we will not. But somebody else will. It really depends very much on the chemistry. Somebody just likes somebody because of the presentation, because of some other things. Somebody likes some other way of explanation. It's very important that we listen, and that's why there are so many varieties. We may accept one thing from one angle, but somebody else, it will be difficult for him to accept it through the angle. So he likes explanation from other angles. So then other person will be closer to him because he explains it the way he understands it. But that's just the technique, how you do it. But the level of realization, we cannot judge. If we are not realized, we are not able to recognize how realized the person is. So we can only see if we can actually take some instruction from the person. Based on faith, based on our relationship. So we cannot say that Upakurvana Brahmachari is not realized and Naishtika Brahmachari is realized. The Naishtika Brahmachari, he also may not be realized. He may get the realization after, say, not 20 years. Like there was the Pujari who was worshipping the Shalagram Shilas. After 20 years only worshipping, he figured out that actually that's the Lord himself. So 20 years he had no realization. He was just doing just pure ritual. That's it. But the 20 years of doing the ritual brought realization to him, and he realized this is the Lord himself. So once he realizes, the 20 years are unimportant. Because if we realize that that's the Lord and we are his servant, then we fulfill the goal of our life. So if one realizes when he is 5-year-old or 50-year-old, there's not much difference in between. It's only 45 years, and that's not that much. So if we can take instruction, if we can somehow take association of the Upakurvana Brahmachari, we should do. If we get benefit from that. If we don't see any use, then we should respect, but we don't take association. We have to take a suggestion from somebody else. Is that okay?
Yeah. Just that example again you're giving, this years, and then he understood again this, the application of the philosophy, and that's not there in the Upanishad still. And also I heard somewhere, I don't remember where, so I don't take it too serious, that the nice thing of Ramacharya actually already past life, he had that experience, so that's why he had the realization now that he can follow just by hearing.
That's generally what it is, that see, everybody has to go through, you know, the realization of the, you know, Grihastha ashram. So it may have been in previous life, or it's going to be in this lifetime. No, it's not the.
That's not the important one.
No, it's
but
not.
More like the technical thing of what you're passing on. This is, you know, that's a jnana and then that's a vijnana. So it's said that we should preach according to what our realization is, because that is what we can actually pass on. But we can also pass on the knowledge, and then other people who have faith in our authority, they can follow themselves and get the realization.
But you see, applying, no, preaching knowledge, then we should preach the knowledge with the application of the knowledge. When you get academics preaching knowledge, who is listening to them? Nobody bothers, because they know they don't follow themselves. They just criticize. They just say, oh, one says this, one says that, this one is better. Oh, and this says this, he is better. And based on what? Just mental speculation. They never follow any of this. But when they start to practice, so it's not academic knowledge anymore. So knowledge in practice brings the realization. So application of the knowledge is important. So therefore, the Upakurana Brahmachari, he knows, I have to apply Grihastha ashram to get full realization. That's already a realization. But then and he knows he is going to get realization, because he will take his duties seriously. Nashtika Brahmachari, he realizes he doesn't need a Grihastha ashram. So he is practicing his duty as a Brahmachari. He gets his realization this way. Yeah? Okay.
What's Babaji inside?
Babaji, see, the sannyasi, he is the teacher for all the varnas. But he is somewhat still connected with the social system. So he's preacher, he preaches. So he goes around and teaches others, teaches the varnas, teaches all the ashrams. Babaji, he is one who completely withdraws himself. He goes and lives in the forest or anywhere, and he does not care for the social order at all. So he just does his bhajan. So he only meditates on the Lord.
Is he outside?
Yeah, he's outside of the, no. Yeah, he's not included in the social system. Okay, let's go through it. So, now what are the duties which we already discussed? Okay, Brahmana has his business to preach the transcendental Vedic sounds, or Shabda Brahma. Kshatriya has to protect people from onslaughts of Maya. Vaishyas are meant for producing agricultural products, trading them and distributing them. And the working class, or Shudras, are those who haven't the intelligence of the Brahmanas, or the Kshatriyas, or the Vaishyas, and therefore they are meant to help this higher caste by bodily labor. Just to mention that the Shudras, they are human beings. Anybody belong them? Yes, they are not, but the Shudras are humans, and if they perform their activities according to their conditioning, they go back to Godhead. So some may think that Shudras are outcast. Not true. They are, by performing their own duties within the Varnashram system, they get the same benefit as Brahmanas doing their own duties, or Kshatriya their own duties, or Vaishyas their own duties. So there is no differentiation between who is better, who is not. It's based on what is one's mentality, what is one's conditioning. One should get engaged that way. Maybe just let's finish this and then see how much time we have. For whom is the devotional service? There is a statement by Sri Krishna himself to Uddhava. My dear Uddhava, all persons are engaged in activities, whether those indicated in the revealed scriptures or ordinary worldly activities, if by the result of either of such activities they worship me in Krishna consciousness, then automatically they become very happy within this world as well as in the next. Of this there is no doubt. Bhagavatam 11:27-49. We can conclude from this statement by Krishna that activities in Krishna consciousness will give everyone all perfection in all desires. And how does Narada Pancharatra describe devotional service? In the Narada Pancharatra, the regulative principles of devotional service are described as follows. Any activities sanctioned in the revealed scriptures and aiming at the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are accepted by saintly teachers as the regulative principles of devotional service. If one regularly executes such service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, then gradually he rises to the platform of serving in pure love of God. So, okay, what was your question?
In this last paragraph it says, all persons are engaged in activities, whether those indicated in revealed scriptures or ordinary worldly activities.
Mm-hmm.
So if an activity is not indicated in a revealed scripture, does that mean that it is sinful?
See, activity which is connected to the Lord, then it's pious. Anything which is not connected to the Lord, it's sinful. So an activity may be revealed in the scripture, may be revealed by guru, may be revealed by the sadhu, and if it's in connection with the Lord, it's going to be pious. One may follow activity which is revealed in the scripture and do it against the Lord. Like the demons, they follow Vedic scriptures, they follow the Vedic culture, they have everything there. The only thing is that they do it without Krishna consciousness, they do it against the Lord. So therefore, that's demoniac. So that will not bring the effect.
So what is meant here by ordinary worldly activities?
See, anything which all persons are engaged in activities, whether those indicated in the revealed scriptures or ordinary worldly activities. So, in the scriptures, the activities are revealed that we should do them, and there is always a conclusion that it should be done for the Lord. But as Vyasa himself, when he wrote the Vedas, he didn't make very clear that all the activities should be done for Krishna. So he describes the activities, but these activities, those who are very careful, those who are conscious, those who want to see, they see that they should be performed for the benefit of the Lord. But those who don't want to do that, then they will find in the same scripture that they can do it for their own benefit. See, therefore the Vedas, they are written such a way so anybody can get benefit from it. Because even the person, if he performs the activity, and even though not considering the Lord as the benefactor, so he will perform the activity according to the scripture. So he will get some benefits. Not much, but some. That little some benefit will elevate him from the lower material position to the higher material position. Not the transcendental. But people in Tamaguna, they don't appreciate the same thing what people in Sattvaguna appreciate. So you cannot try to preach somebody who does not want to hear anything from Sattvaguna. You cannot preach to them that way. They will not listen to you. So then the scriptures, as they do that, you elevate them first from the lower to the higher, then went down the higher, then you preach to them the transcendental knowledge. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had different idea. He preached the transcendental knowledge straight to anybody without any discrimination. So for somebody, they took it immediately, and somebody they don't. So Nityananda, when he goes to different houses, please chant the holy name, then now somewhere they accept, somewhere they kick him out. And it was Lord himself. Now, so one is willing, one is not willing. So the Shastras tell you what to do. But if you are going to accept it, that you should do it, no, with the mentality that the activity should be offered to the Lord, then you benefit. But if you don't, then you don't benefit. And then the ordinary worldly activities, it's everybody does something, right? Everybody has to do, you know, just for living. Everybody has to go, work, make. So these are the worldly activities. But what is the mentality behind? Now, why are you going and not working? Right? Are you going and working because you have in mind maintaining the family, feeding the child, or because you want to, you know, enjoy, buy a new computer and watch movies? What is the mentality behind your work? That's the difference. So two people may do the same work, but the outcome of the work can be, one can be Krishna conscious, and then one can be, you know, completely in Maya. Same like you have two people coming to the temple. One may be praying to the Lord for what service can he do. And then the other can be praying, no, please give me some opportunity, I would like to steal something. You know, it can be the same prayers, same deity, same time. But the result can be completely different. So that's the meaning here. That if by the result of either of such activities they worship me in Krishna consciousness, then automatically they will become happy within this world. So worship Krishna ultimately means always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Yeah? Yes.
Another question is that if somebody has the mentality of, for example, a Shudra, and as he's engaged in that work, his mentality becomes on a higher level, and he realizes the mentality of a Vaishya, then should he take up the work of a Vaishya? Is that possible?
May. It's possible. In the Dharma Ashram, it is possible. But, He should not first of all get mental about that he is a Shudra, because he does the activity of a Shudra, and he can be fully in transcendental bliss. No, because that's his nature. He likes to do that, so he's helping others, and then he is very happy doing it, and then due to that, then he performs, you know, very important devotional service, and he is happy, and everybody else is happy with him. So then Krishna is happy. He is not complaining. He is not asking, no, that others know what about others, how they see me. No, others seeing that they appreciate such a renounced devotee, so surrendered. You may say Shamarana Pandit was a Shudra because he was sleeping, right? So by activity he was doing occupational Shudra. But he was doing for Radha Krishna. So the outcome is not Shudra activity, the outcome is transcendental activity.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama.